Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the teaching, such clear teaching all the way through the Bible. And here in the book of Acts, we see your teaching to the new church. How is the church to function really, and how are we Christians to live? And always such a great lesson for us wherever we are in the scripture, reminding to be sure, but how we need reminding. Yes. So today we have a reminder of seeing your judgment really on sin and coming against that, and seeing some kind of extreme cases in the scriptures of it, and we need to pay attention to that, I think. So guide us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time, you know, we were talking about the new church, and we were talking about them sharing in all things. Of course, we had that great prayer for boldness last time, and I hope that we've been bold in our prayer this week, not just for others, but necessarily, but even for ourselves, right? Because we get a lot of distractions, don't we? And I think we need to stay focused on what we're to do. And so we need these reminders. But we ended last week with great power. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them all. Wow, what a great statement. Nor was there any one among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses and sold them, and brought the proceeds of things they sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. Laid them at the apostles' feet will be a phrase we'll be rereading about four times in the next few verses. Laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as they had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles. Now notice, this is important as it's coming into today's section, which we'll get to Ananias and Sapphira in a couple of verses. But we have them treating this man very favorable. In fact, they even give him a new name. They give him Son of Encouragement. They give him the name Barnabas. And so you see that that is something that we like to see people giving us new names, wouldn't we? I mean, wouldn't that be kind of nice as opposed to bad name, really? And it says, he, having sold land, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So notice how that sets the scene now. If you have somebody in your church, or somebody in your family, or somebody in your group that does something to the Lord, and they get praised for it, and they even get their name changed, and it's really good, right? And now you see that, and you see that, and first you're kind of excited about it, maybe, but then your mind starts to think, and you start to think, you know, I'd like to get some of that notoriety. I'd like for people to feel good about me. I'd like them to change my name. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring some money in and lay it at the apostles' feet. Now, we get in trouble now because we get into sin. We get into lying. We get into hypocrisy. And this was not just something that happened 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. This is happening this morning and yesterday, and it will happen tomorrow. It's a very current thing, is it not? And, you know, Psalm 119, verse 163 has two great statements in it, and neither one of them are really easy necessarily. It says, I hate and abhor lying. Do you really hate it? If I do hate it, why do I do it so much? And then it says, but I will keep your law. Oh, yes, I can agree to that. And then I say, well, I don't do that either. So that verse nails me on both sides. But lying, now we get a new definition here in a way of, this next section we're going to read has, almost every section in the Bible will have some kind of key verse that may not be anywhere else or very rarely in another place. Here's a place where we see the text telling us that the Holy Spirit is God. So if you want to really nail a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, a couple of these verses in here today are really, really good, because they say that the Holy Spirit is God, because neither one of those cults believe that. So that brings us to the text that we will read today, and we'll read it and then listen to the Lord speak to you as we read it, and then I'll make a couple of comments on it. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, what is it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Well, we'll continue that story next week. I didn't want to go too long into this. I mean, because if we do too many verses, we can't even possibly remember that in a five-minute review. But what do we have here? Well, you see, first of all, that they must be envious of the attention that Joseph got in having his name changed, and everybody is wooing and wowing about what a beautiful thing this was to bring the money in and lay at the apostles' feet. We read now the process that goes through here as Peter is told by the Spirit what's happening. Notice in verse 5, they sold a possession. This is probably not their home. This is probably a piece of land. But he kept back, that means he stole or hid, kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Again, laid it at the apostles' feet. So now I bet they're expecting great praise and honor. Maybe they'll even get their name changed, right? But, we see, but, that means it's not going to go that way. But Peter, he doesn't say, congratulations, I'm going to change your name. He says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price for yourself? So notice now, Satan is always there resisting. He's always there planting that thought in your mind. But you have free choice. Are you going to go that way or are you going to not go that way? So he says, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. So notice in verse 3, he's saying lying to the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, he's saying lying to God. So God and the Holy Spirit are one in this text. That's why it's a great text for somebody who doesn't believe that. And he goes on, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? And the answer, of course, is yes, yes. Then listen to this now. Why have you conceived this thing? So notice, the problem here is not that Satan does it, you do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Satan can tempt you, but he can never make you sin. You're the one that sins.
Yeah. Amen. That's true.
Now you blame it on Satan, but that's not right. You're the one who does it. And so they're going to get killed here. They're going to die because of their sin. They're not going to die because of Satan's temptation. Because we get tempted all the time, right? So they conceived this thing in your heart. Now how long does conception to birth take? Well, in a human it's 9 months. In our minds we can usually conceive quite a bit quicker than that. We can go from a small idea to lying in a very few seconds, right? But it's the same process there, it says, isn't there? Usually it comes from the heart that you have this idea and then you act on it. And then when caught about it or whatever, you say, why did you lie? Now notice, lying is so amazing. I lie all the time. And most of the time it's not to improve my position. It's just, I don't even know why I do it. But I'm always magnifying something that is good in me and always minimizing something that is good in everybody else, right? How easy it is. Maybe you presented the gospel to two people this last week. But in telling what a great week you had, you almost invariably will round that number up. I prayed a whole bunch, giving the impression, man, there must have been thousands out there. And maybe you did it to two. Or you tell somebody else, they tell you that they did all this stuff, and then maybe you find out later, or whatever, that you can't believe what they say either, because they're like you, right?
Yeah.
So we have that, and then hypocrisy is just that process of the presentation of something that you're not, but it's just, it's still lying, isn't it? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down dead. Now, you can remember Achan. Achan did not confess, and he paid the price dearly. Here's one man out of probably 650,000 men that sinned, and the whole group paid for it. Remember?
Yes.
They went to Achan, not Achan, Achan. Went, then they went to Ai. And now there again, there's another problem there, because Joshua doesn't pray. So great Joshua, he doesn't pray. Right, next thing, he doesn't pray to the Gibeonites thing either. So he's a human. So we don't, you know, we think these great saints in the Bible are so, something, maybe we think they're like perfect. They're not perfect.
Nope.
This thing here in the Bible doesn't make the Bible sound particularly good, does it? God strikes people dead. But it's true, so we need it to be told. So you've got Achan. Think about David and Uzzah. We just had that in bringing the ark in the first time. Doing a really a good thing. Here's a good idea. And boy, that came to a kibosh on that thing in a hurry. So we have these things here in the Bible that really get our attention, don't we? And so then we have, she comes in. Now, you didn't have cell phones in those days. Can you imagine your spouse dying and being buried and you didn't even know about it in a three-hour period? See, the Jews wanted to get the body in the ground as soon as possible for the very simple reason that as long as there's a dead body around, anybody that touches that dead body is defiled. You got to go through a seven-day purification period. So get the body in the ground as soon as you can. So they bury him the same day, still to this day. They bury him the same day. So this happened pretty fast. In 3 hours she comes in. She didn't know about any of this. Her husband's already been dead and buried, right? But now she confirms that she was in on this and does the same thing. So the same thing happens to her. So God is pretty amazing at times to get our attention, right? And so what was the effect of this early church? Man, that'll clear you up in a hurry, doesn't it? They all feared like everything, and the church explodes in growth. But then what happens over time creeps back in again, and it all slows down, doesn't it? That just is the way we are, I guess. But this is a great little account here for Ananias and Sapphira, isn't it? Now, I think they're saved. I think they'll be in heaven. If they were saved, I don't think this is a salvation sin, but it is a sin leading to death, right? Not necessarily leading to loss of your salvation. If they're really saved, I don't think they can lose their salvation myself. But anyway, we have this account here for us. Now, we have continuing power in the church. So we see right after this now that many signs and wonders were done among the people. And the people were in one accord. And yet they see the resistance rising up primarily from their own people, primarily from the Sanhedrin, primarily from the Sadducee Sanhedrin, their Supreme Court, so to speak, religious Supreme Court. And so they don't like, they're jealous. They don't like to see people healed in the name of Jesus because they have rejected Jesus, right? And now it's just not that Jesus is going around and healing a few people. Jesus is no longer there. But the results of, they now have so many people, they're lining the streets with them that are sick. And it says they were all healed. Now that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. So we see that in our lives, don't we? When the Spirit is really free to move in our lives because we got the right motives and we are focused on doing His will, the power that is there. It's amazing, isn't it? But it's so easy to drift away from that and get it all mixed up, and you do, you know, eight things wrong and one thing right, and then you expect the Spirit to be, you know, unlimited in His power. And we do too many things where it's not really God's will. I was reading one of the commentaries, Pastor Chuck, and he made a statement that kind of got my attention. He said in praying for unbelievers, it's probably best not to pray to the Lord, save them. I go, what? You know, don't want to save them? And the point he's making is there that God does not violate free choice. Mm-hmm. And an unbeliever's choice, at least to that point, is I don't want to be saved. Right? So the better prayer is to pray for the resistance to be removed so they can make the right decision. Because they've got to make the right decision before they're saved. God doesn't force you into heaven, right? Now we say, well, God can do anything. Yes, he can do anything, but he's not going to violate anybody's free choice. Because that's the way he has us created, right? We make our choices. He doesn't force us into it. He can certainly prompt us. He can certainly stay with us. So anyway, I mentioned that, if that is interesting. It was interesting to me, and I'd heard that before when he made it, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, you're right there, because, and that puts it back to, again, to ourselves. We're responsible for the choice we make.
Yes.
And he will not change it. He will let us live with the consequences. He'll help us through the consequences, but we will have the consequences, won't we? Well, so now the Sanhedrin, they go arrest everybody. When they don't know what to do, they're either going to kill them or arrest them. They know killing doesn't work too well because the Christians rise from the dead. They don't like that, or at least Jesus did, for sure. So now we have the imprisoned apostles freed in verses 17 through 20. They laid their hands on the apostles. It says apostles. Now, I don't know. I guess that's the 12. Usually the 12 apostles are the 12. These could be more than that. I don't know that the entire 120 or whoever were there, maybe. But anyway, they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison for the night. They'll figure out in the morning what to do with them, right? But the angel of the Lord opens the prison up, and they're all gone. So they come the next morning, and it says that they see the guards were all in place and everything was in order. They went in to bring these guys out, and there's nobody there. What's happened to them? And then we'll read a little later on here that they found out that they were in, well, it's what it said here, but we read that they came together and they taught. So they came together, and so here they're in the temple preaching the next morning. And so that's kind of a hard one to put down, isn't it? When you're really moved by the Lord to do his will, what can stop you, really, isn't it? Well, Father, we thank you for this text of the emphasis on not to conceive something in our hearts, not to go against our conscience. Lord, help us to really listen to our conscience, because that's why you put it in us, I think, to guard us against these kinds of things of lying, the hypocrisy and so forth, Lord. So it's such a good reminder for us. But Lord, you do want us to pray. You do want us to have that close relationship with you. And so we want to praise you. We want to thank you. We want to bless your name today. And as we're reminded by your word of being true to you, guide us now as we would bring to mind the lost, as we would bring to mind this nation, as we would bring to mind this church, as we would bring to mind Israel and the promises that you have made. So guide us by your Spirit and lead us in this time of prayer, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray for the Vacation Bible Schools. I know that Chino Hills begins tomorrow, and Garden Fellowship begins tomorrow, and different churches and different schedules, but just at Chino Hills, I know there will be hundreds and hundreds of little ones gathered together, and the fruitfulness of that is always outstanding. So we pray for fruitfulness, abundant fruitfulness, Lord. I pray for many friends of those who know you will be invited to that as well, and there would be a large number of little ones that whose lives would be transformed this week this coming week. We pray in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for meeting us here this morning, and as we hear verse after verse after verse, so reminded, it's not that you're not telling us. It's that we've got too much distraction coming in. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us to love you more and to love one another more. So as we close today, Lord, we just want to sing a little praise song here. I love you, Lord. Let's just sing this together. Lord, we do love you. Help us to really love you more, Lord. Oh, do direct our steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over us. Bless and guide each one here, Lord, and may we do what you would have us to do, and really even more than do, to be what you would have us to be, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.